The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. There's something of a real human tragedy to this gospel passage that I think only our introverts will realize. Right, come away with me to a deserted place. And before they can even get to that deserted place, here's that whole group of people again that they were trying to avoid in order to find rest in Christ, in order to be nourished again by Christ, in order to be sustained by his truth and his goodness, right? The great loving and compassionate rule of God that he was bringing to life for his apostles. Not too many introverts in here, though, just judging by your reactions. Okay, I get it. It'd be tough for us introverts, okay, if this were to happen. The apostles show no sign of discouragement here. And Jesus too. And I think this points us to his being the good shepherd. It points us to his being the anointed king of the Jews, embodying the rule of David. So let's look briefly at that first reading where we hear about all of the bad shepherds. And I would offer that what made the rulers, the leaders of Jeremiah's day, the rulers of Israel of Jeremiah's day, what made them bad shepherds was the fact that they were in it for themselves. These were men who were appointed to stand, in some sense, I won't say in God's place, but to share in his rule over his people. And what they did with that rule was make it a benefit to themselves. Now, because they were pursuing power and prestige, because they were pursuing wealth and material possessions, they necessarily oppressed the people because they cared more about their own material wealth than justice. They oppress the people. They didn't rule the people with justice because they cared more about their own gain. Likewise, not just Israel, but the surrounding nations. There was always going to be antagonism between Israel and the surrounding nations when they were led by such rulers who cared more for their own material prosperity than they cared for embodying the just rule of God. And part of that is because there are scarce resources. There are scarce resources in the community. There are scarce resources in the world. And if we make any of those scarce resources, popularity, pleasure, money, material satisfaction, whatever it is, if we make that the highest goal of our life, then we will be in constant conflict with the people around us. And that's what we see in the leaders, the rulers of Jeremiah's day. And Jeremiah then is sent to those leaders, those shepherds who were not looking out for the flock, to give them a word of rebuke, but also to promise the people who had been, they've been put under this bad rule, they're being abused by the rule of these shepherds, to give them hope. to give them hope. And the hope was not that there will be a time where there will not be kings. There'll be a time where there will not be shepherds, right? So as Americans who love our self-rule, this was not the promise of God. The promise of God was that we would have good shepherds. We would have a good shepherd that would arise from the line of David. And of course, that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus. He is the good shepherd. And then, instead of then perverting the call of Israel, Israel's vocation was to be a light to the nations. Israel's vocation was to be a city set on a hill that would radiate God's glory. Instead of the corruption of that call that we see in the first reading, as the rulers of Israel seek to profit by their place in the world, instead we see that vocation be taken up by Jesus, and rightly so, as he embodies the rule of God, which is for the other. It's not a way then of, say, being this self-reflective, self-absorbed, self-aggrandizing person and ruler, as we see in some of the worst rulers down throughout all of history, but to rule in the place of God is to serve. To rule in the place of God is to sacrifice. And we see that in Jesus, and that's why I would say in this gospel, we have the image of the Good Shepherd. We have the image of what God's true King is and does. Without hesitation, he sees the people, he takes pity of them, he takes pity on them. They are in need, and he seeks to provide for them in their need. He sees that they need a shepherd. The flock needs a shepherd. And he gives himself away to them. He provides for them. So here we have also for our own reflection, Jesus's lordship. He is the King of the Jews. If he's King of the Jews, he is Lord of all nations. And if he is Lord of all nations, he is the rightful ruler over every human heart. Theirs 2,000 years ago and ours today. Do we make time, do we make space in our hearts and in our lives to hear the voice, to hear the call of the Good Shepherd? Do we know what Jesus's voice sounds like? Make a joke about like someone hearing the voice, right? I mean, it's not simply hearing the voice. In prayer, do we know how it feels, right? What is the experience of Christ speaking to our heart? And how is that different from the competing voices in the world around us? It's not like that voice. I'm not just kidding. I love that voice. She's just saying what everybody else is feeling, so I'm happy with that. Do we know the voice of Christ? The word of God is always a word of truth. It's always a word of justice. It's always a word of mercy. It's a word of love. Right? That's what we see in Jesus in the Word made flesh, the embodiment of God's good and loving rule. We know what it looks like. We know that he wants to guide us and lead us into fullness of life. He wants our lives to flourish, right? That we might embody God's good gift given to us, the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, and peace, and all the rest. Jesus will lead us there. We don't have to be slaves like the rulers of old to vain pursuits, chasing after money, privilege, popularity, power, and finding ourselves exhausted in the process. the deep satisfaction of our hearts is found in Christ Jesus alone. And if we pursue him with all our hearts, if we pursue him with our entire lives, then we will not only experience his good and loving rule of compassion, but we will be made to embody that rule for the people around us, for this world that really needs it.